Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roll Pod, an Alabama sports podcast from Bama 247. I'm staff writer Cody Goodwin. Glad you guys are here today. We've got Brett Greenberg back with us. Going to talk recruiting on today's podcast. We're going to take a final look at Alabama's 2024 class, a way too early look at maybe what to expect with 2025. But first, Brett, important to note on the recruiting calendar, we've officially hit a dead period. Dead period means athletes can't contact coaches. Coaches can't contact athletes. There's no visits, there are phone calls. There's no nothing, which means you get a break, right? Like here in within, you know, the next couple weeks, right? Like you can kind of like take a step back, take a deep breath and relax a little bit, right? Or is that not how this works for you?
You know, a little bit. You know, I've been kind of had the February 7th through 9th week kind of circled on my calendar for a little while. It's been kind of nonstop really since December signing day. You know, you throw in December signing day, then I'm out in San Antonio for the All-American Bowl, stop by the Alabama Mississippi All-Star game, and then, you know, some big, rather big news breaks in the beginning of January. And, you know, as Cody knows, we've been pretty busy since then. I was looking, actually, it hasn't even been a month since he's been hired, which I can't even like wrap my head around.
It feels like Saban retired 10 years ago.
But I mean, a little bit of a break, but yeah, like you said in the opening too, it's 2025 class is kind of on the clock, and you know, certainly is going to be a very, you know, every recruiting class is big, but you know, this is going to be Caleb DeBoer and his new staff's first, you know, all of his hands, you know, on this, and his markings and his new staff is going to be all over this. You know, obviously he, you know, came in and did wonderful job with adding a couple additions, and we'll get to those guys later, but you know, a lot of that was, you know, Nick Saban's work, kind of Nick Saban's parting gifts, if you will. So it's going to be, you know, a very important class for, you know, Caleb DeBoer to establish himself. And it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. And, you know, one thing I will say is, you know, it's February. We have a long way to go. Even if guys are committed right now, we have a long, long way to go.
100%. Of the many things that happened when Nick Saban retired, you mentioned it too. Left Kalen DeBoer a very, very good 2024 recruiting class that's going to end up number two nationally behind only Georgia. And let's give the new coach some credit, right? There could have been a lot of defections out of this class or departures, and there were a couple, right? Julian Sayin, 5-star quarterback. He had enrolled, believe he was probably sitting in class when, you know, he found out the news. Or I guess he was in class earlier that day. They had a team meeting that afternoon. He has since left. He's now at Ohio State. Jameer Grimsley, 4-star athlete, was going to play cornerback. He has since left and is now on his way to Florida. But they basically like replaced those guys with, you know, 5-star receiver Ryan Williams. We'll touch on him in just a minute. 4-star edge defender Noah Carter, as well as local 3-star linebacker QB Reese. Side note, love that Alabama now has a linebacker whose name is QB. That's just excellent to me. So I think there's a lot of credit that goes to, you know, DeBoer and his staff for being able to retain as much of this 2024 class as they did. I mean, they virtually kept the entire thing intact and then kind of added their own twist on things, which is what I wanted to get to at the beginning of today's pod. Ryan Williams, 5-star receiver out of Sarah Land, officially signed, officially official, was in your headline. Signing ceremony on Wednesday morning. You and virtually every other media member, every other outlet in the state that covers Alabama was on hand for this one. I feel bad for the other Sarah Land athletes that were signing because I'm not sure that anybody really gave them any sort of notoriety outside of the AD when he was giving the speech earlier. But Ryan Williams officially pen to paper. He's officially a member of the Alabama football program. Brett, you were there on Wednesday. Just what was it like? What was it like talking to him? What'd you hear from him? What was kind of your takeaway from the morning?
Yeah, you know, you've had so many conversations with the kid. You know, I kind of was driving down from Atlanta Mobile and I'm thinking to myself, like, what's kind of the angle here? Where do I want to go with this? Because, you know, as most guys or Bama 247 subscribers know, you know, I did how the coaching staff convinced him and what the high school coach said and what his parents said and what he said and so on and so forth. So I was kind of interested to see what I wanted to do. But, you know, in talking with him, it kind of just fell into the same thing of what explained the decision. And he kind of just doubled and tripled down on everything. It's just, you know, and one thing I found interesting that he said was someone asked him, was Alabama always, you know, was anybody other school really had a chance? And he said no, whether, you know, that's truthful or not. But he said no, you know, Alabama's Alabama. They knew he was going to get. Nick Saban was going to get a good coach. He had confidence in Nick Saban. He talked with Nick Saban throughout, you know, the whole process, as Nick Saban probably talked with many other people as well. And, you know, he got, and, you know, we've talked about on this before and reported multiple times, but got on that unofficial visit, talk with Coach DeBoer, talk with Coach Jamarcus Shepherd, wide receivers coach, who, by the way, every, you know, guy you talk to right now, it seems like Shep brings unlimited energy to the facility. It's kind of just flips a switch on you. And a lot of the junior day visitors we talk to, you know, we can get into that later, but very high on him. But, you know, he took him on an official visit, then, you know, gets him for his official visit, that weekend, commits, you know, recommits 3 days later, shuts down his recruitment, says, you know, no more Auburn visit. And, you know, as I was driving down there, I was like, there's still a chance, you know, it's never official, you know, officially. So, you know, that was part of my, you know, thought process as well. But, you know, talking with him, it was like, it wasn't even a question. He knew Nick Saban was going to get the right guy in the door. He just had to meet him one time and that's all it took. And, you know, you talk to him and he was like, I'm just so relieved it's done. You know, I asked him, what are the emotions? He said, you know, ecstatic, amazing, you know, beautiful, incredible, all these things. But, you know, I asked him what the next few months look like. And he said, I'll take a little bit of a break, but, you know, it's going to get real interesting, you know, these next couple months for him to get back in the gym and put on some weight to, you know, when he gets to Tuscaloosa in late May to be, you know, in the best shape possible to be early contributor, which a lot of people think he can be. But overall, yeah, again, it was a great ceremony, you know. He's just such a great kid. You know, he's always, every time you talk with the kid, he's very, you know, thoughtful, gives, you know, good responses. And, you know, even after ceremonies and award ceremonies, he's there, you know, 1-2 hours, even after talking to media, giving them their one-on-one, talking to local TV and things like that. But again, you know, sound like a broken record, but what Nick Saban did with him, of course, you know, Nick Saban, the recruiter, everybody knows what he did, but what Kalen DeBoer and this new staff did is just, it's remarkable, quite frankly, because, you know, you and I have talked and you talk to people around the industry. I thought it was a, you know, foregone conclusion. He was headed to Auburn, you know, and I said it too. You don't blame the guy. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, were recruited by staff that were no longer there. So again, it's just a great job by the staff and very, very impressive.
100%. I have two trains of thought there. First, I imagine a huge part of the recruiting, you know, the official visit for Ryan Williams when he was in Tuscaloosa was just new receivers coach Jamarcus Shepherd pointing to the latest NFL draft board and saying, yeah, Roma Dunze, yeah, Jalen Polk, those were my guys. That's what I did. We can do that with you too. Plus I'm sure he talked with Ryan Grubb too about Alabama's offense, where he could potentially fit, what he could potentially do. There's a lot of versatility, I think, with a guy like Ryan Williams, who you can put him in the slot, you can put him out wide. Obviously he needs to put on a little bit of weight because he's kind of a string bean right now, but you know, you get him up to that 185, 190, that's where you can kind of, he could be kind of a queen on the chessboard type of thing, I think, for this specific offense, you know, as long as the quarterback situation is figured out. And that's a different conversation for a different day. But two, I found it really interesting because Kalen DeBoer had made this comment when, you know, he was announced and, you know, went through the introductory press conference and everything, that Ryan Williams talked to Nick Saban about this. Like, what specifically did he say about the conversations that he had with Nick? Did he share any in-depth insight or just one of those, like, you know, passing comments?
Yeah, it's kind of more or less the passing comments. I think, you know, maybe Nick Saban even gave Ryan Williams a little bit of media training along the way. he didn't really give too much insight to that. I just thought it was interesting. And I don't think it was very surprising, you know, for me to hear that. I don't think it's surprising for Alabama fans to hear that. You know, Kalen DeBoer talked about how Nick Saban was going to be, you know, influential, and he's going to call him and do this and ask him to, you know, for help in this area and how to do this and do whatever it may have been. I think he said it was 100% access or whatever it may have been. So it wasn't shocking, but certainly interesting about it. And, you know, one thing also that Ryan Williams was talking about was just how he just loved Kalen DeBoer just from the jump. Like, he just, you know, it was just a match kind of made in heaven, so to speak, for, you know, he talked about he wouldn't want to play for any other coach other than Nick Saban, obviously. So I, again, sound like a broken record, but it's just what the job that staff did and Coach Shep did is pretty impressive. And I asked him, you know, what you hit on there is, you know, that versatility in the offense. And I asked him, you know, most guys who watch him at Saraland, he was, you know, returning kicks, returning punts. He was, you know, in motion, in the slot, out wide, outside the numbers, like you were saying. He said, you know, he had those conversations. Those were part of the conversations he had on his visits. And that was one thing he was, you know, not assured, but like, hey, you know, we're going to use you wherever we can. We are better with you when you have the ball in your hand. So I think that was a big part. And then again, you know, you're one of your guys, Jalen Bakwe, he talked about him again. You know, he said, you know, he deserves number one recruiter type thing. I believe they're going to be roommates. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, those are two five stars that are two of the best on either side of the ball. And Jalen Bakwe is certainly pretty impressive on offense as well.
100%. One thing that, you know, is interesting, you know, Ryan Williams is not enrolling until May, right? So he might be a little behind the eight ball. I imagine Ryan Grubb probably got him a copy of the playbook so that he can start studying so that when he shows up, he, you know, will be as much up to speed as possible. But if he is not up to speed enough to maybe be, you know, week one in the offense, like you mentioned, that versatility, not just using him anywhere within the offense, but being able to return kicks and punts, right? Like, if that's something, you know, if that's a way to get him on the field so that he can experience game speed a little bit quicker, that might help with his adjustment and his acclimation. And that's another thing that this new coaching staff has been very, very good about. We're going to ease these guys in. You know, a guy like Jeremy Bernard, for example, we think there's going to be a pretty big role for him in Alabama's offense. He was kind of receiver 4/5 in Washington's offense last year, but returned a lot of kicks, returned a lot of punts. They found ways to make sure that guy got the ball in his hands. So I imagine that, you know, as Ryan Williams continues to grow and develop, they're going to find ways to do that similarly. Ryan Williams was not the only 2024 guy that signed this week. Also had Noah Carter, 4-star edge, and also QB Reese, 3-star linebacker. I know you talked to Reese's mom. I know his recruitment was a little goofy, but it sounds like everything was put to rest a little bit when they were able to meet the new coaching staff. He was able to sign kind of to polish off the 2024 class. What'd you kind of learn about his recruitment and you know, what he seems like? He's a player that's got a pretty high ceiling, you know, and they feel confident that this staff can maybe get the most out of this kid. What all did you learn about QB Reese this week?
Yeah, first off, I think people, you know, and sometimes rightfully so, go straight to the rankings and say, you know, who is this kid, you know, type of thing. And he's a 3-star, blah, blah, blah. The kid, you know, I've watched multiple times, can flat out tackle. He can flat out fly. I think he's a guy. He fits the mold of that Kane Womack type of defense. I think he's going to be, you know, I'm not saying he's going to play freshman year, but I think he's a guy that can certainly contribute down the road. But yeah, you know, it was a little bit of an interesting recruitment. Like you said, he ended up committing to Alabama in September. Didn't hear any much word beyond that. So, you know, kind of started digging and things like that. Then the coaching change happens. And then you look on Twitter and Coach DeBoer and Coach Kane Womack are at in Birmingham at a training center talking with QB Reese and his family and sharing, hey, you know, we still want you. We want you on scholarship. You know, I talked to QB after that. You know, it's a, you know, just an honor to be part of this, you know, Alabama football family, in-state kid, just loves football. I know all these guys love football, but you can just kind of tell sometimes with certain players. Just
the prerequisite loves. If you want to play D1 ball, right?
Yeah, but just like you can just like straight as an arrow, raised the right way. Like, you know, classroom comes first. And, you know, and talking to his parents too, or his mother, excuse me, they took an official visit. I believe it was during the junior day. Again, you know, got, or people who are committed can take another official visit with head coaching change. And they were kind of just, again, you know, they were familiar with the facilities. They were familiar with the training staff and the education department just through all the visits. They just wanted to, you know, meet these coaches and say, you know, like any mother would, is my kid going to be okay in this, you know, new program? Are these people going to take care of me? And she was talking about how it's just a collaborative effort. You know, it was, you know, no, they were never with one coach. It was also always multiple coaches, multiple conversations with Coach Kalen DeBoer. And you know, that family, I would love to spend a day with them. They just seem like winners. Like they just, you know, Mrs. Reese talked was just like kind of inspiring, kind of wanted me to run through a brick wall, just kind of talk about how, you know, his upbringing and how, you know, just how he's trying to make a name for himself and things like that. It was just very interesting. But again, you know, I think it was kind of shows Coach Kalen DeBoer talking about how you hear Coach Kalen DeBoer and the word genuine and, you know, great person and things like that. And, you know, it kind of right there is kind of a prime example of that. And again, I think, you know, you look at the stars, but I really like QB Reese. You know, 150 plus tackles last year, 6 forced fumbles, couple interceptions, can kind of just fly around. So it'd be interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, very, very versatile type. I like the, you know, among the things that he does, you know, to maybe help with his football. This is a guy that runs sprints in track and field, right? The 1, the 2, the 4, and he also throws the shot put. Like that is not that. That's an interesting combination of like track and field like skill sets. The other interesting thing too that I think maybe helped a little bit was that, you know, not long after he was offered by Alabama last year, he was offered by South Alabama as well. So I imagine that familiarity with Kane Womack probably helped out quite a bit. I'm sure that, you know, Kane gets, you know, they haven't officially announced it yet, but Kane signs whatever it is he signed to officially become Alabama's defensive coordinator. They probably, I don't want to say they beelined for Ramsey, but I'm sure that was pretty high on their priority list to be like, look, we got to go talk to this kid. We got to make sure that we can get him locked down and add him to 2024. And they were able to do that. So excited to see another local in-state kid, you know, join the program. It's always kind of fun when, you know, the kids grow up watching those guys and then they become, you know, part of that same program. We're not going to rehash the entire 2024 class. We did that plenty in December, but I did kind of want to run through a few superlatives with you, Brett. Going to play a game here. Got a couple of different topics here. The only rule of this specific game is that we cannot repeat names. You and I can go back and forth here because I think I've watched enough film of these guys and I've read enough of your stuff to be somewhat familiar, maybe not as much of an expert as you. But we're going to look at the 2024 class, and we're going to guess or, you know, project, I suppose, who we think is most likely to play early, who do we think has the highest upside, and then by the end of their Alabama careers, who we think is the offensive and defensive MVP. So we're going to start highest, the most likely to play early of Alabama's 2024 class. Who do you think will see the field first?
I could only give you one name. Correct? One name?
One name.
One name.
But okay. You're not going to, here's the thing. You, whatever name you choose, you then cannot use him for the next three topics.
Ooh, okay. All right. Most likely to play early. I'm going to go Jalen Mbakwe, you know, number 2 cornerback in the country. You know, you and I were talking about a little bit before. You got to feel pretty good if you're a cornerback in that room. Certainly anytime you're a cornerback in Alabama, but with, you know, some of the transfer portal losses, you know, bringing in Jalen Mbakwe, Xavier Brown, Zay Mincy. I think Jalen Mbakwe is a, you know, he's he's one of the best athletes in the country. I think he has an opportunity to make a difference on defense. And then, you know, you and I were talking about Ryan Williams. I think he has an opportunity to play special teams and, you know, maybe there's a chance at offense. You know, he played quarterback his entire senior season and, you know, was a state championship MVP. So he had a pretty good year. I'm going to go with Jalen Mbakwe.
You stole my answer. Yes, I'm also choosing Jalen Mbakwe. I think just given the nature of the cornerback room, there were a lot of departures through the transfer portal after Nick Saban left. Understandably so, right? Because he is kind of he was basically the defensive back coach throughout his, you know, 2 decades at Alabama. Which opened up the door for a lot of these cornerbacks, right? Like Alabama 2024 class, 3 5-star defensive backs, right? Mbakwe, Brown, Zay Mincy. I think all those guys could potentially be in the mix to play early, but I think Mbakwe is probably going to lead the charge. He's a guy that's already there, already studying the playbook. Sounds like him and Cam Wamek are kicking it off. So I think, you know, you look at the state of, you know, who's going to start where in the secondary. You know, Malachi Moore is going to be there. You know, Damani Jackson is going to be there. He was a transfer from USC. Otherwise, like, you know, Devonta Smith is coming back, having to pull up the depth chart, quote unquote, that we've kind of kept track of.
Jaleel Hurley at corner.
So here you go. Damani Jackson, Tony Mitchell, Jaleel Hurley, and then Mbakwe Brown and Mincy potentially. I think Mincy's probably trending more toward playing safety. But then you've got Malachi Moore, Devonta Smith, and then you've got Mincy, Hubbard, Peyton Woodyard, Red Morgan, Dre Kirk Jr. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there for a guy like Mbakwe to, you know, I don't want to pencil him into the star position because I think he needs to put on a little extra weight potentially. But he's a guy that's versatile enough that he can do a few different things. And I think that's going to help him see the field earlier, whether that means he's going to be outside the numbers at corner, playing star, playing safety, so that maybe, you know, maybe Moore stays at star while they try to figure out the rest of the defense. I just think there's a lot of opportunity, and I'm going to pick the best athlete of the bunch to potentially fill in that role and take advantage of that opportunity. Who do we think has the highest upside? And we can't pick Mbakwe.
I'll let you go answer first on this one. We'll go back and forth.
Highest upside. I'm going to go Sterling Dixon. Edge defender out of Spanish Fort. Believe he transferred in the midst of his high school career. So he played at a couple different schools. This is a guy that's also dealt with a few injuries throughout his career, which maybe gives you a little bit of hesitancy as he goes up to the collegiate level. But when he's healthy, he is holy shit productive. Like he like just very, very good. I'm gonna see if I can find these numbers real quick. I remember writing them down. I don't have them right in front of me, but I mean, this is a dude that like double digit sacks, double digit tackles for loss, triple digit total tackles. Like this is a guy that was very versatile in the middle of the field. I know that's high school ball. And when you're the biggest, baddest dude on the field when playing, you know, I think he was playing like lower class Alabama high school football before he went to Spanish Fort. You know, you're obviously going to be the dude in a defense like that. I don't know if he can be the dude like that, but I think as long as he stays healthy and he continues to, you know, improve and, you know, with Freddie Roach there and Kane Womack there helping, you know, the defensive line. And I'm assuming Womack's going to help with the outside linebackers. He's an edge defender. So we don't know if he's going to have his hand in the dirt or if he's going to stand up and be another outside edge. I just think there's a lot that this kid can bring. I think he's a dude that could be very similar to a Braswell, where he just maybe he bides his time a little bit because the edge defender room is so full. But the moment he gets his opportunity, this could be a kid that breaks out and has a really, really big season. It might take some time. We may not see him immediately. But I really like what this kid could potentially bring. And, you know, I think he could be, you know, maybe not an all-time edge defender, but I think very, very productive when his time comes.
I really like that pick, and I really like Sterling Dixon as a player as well. And, you know, you mentioned his transfer in high school. Yeah, he was at Mobile Christian, a 3A school, and moves up to Spanish Fort at 6A, which is, you know, obviously a better competition. And, you know, one thing he was talking to me about too is when he was at Mobile Christian, you know, he's the best player on the field more or less every week, you know, was playing D-line for Mobile Christian, that went over to Spanish Fort and, you know, was still probably the best player on the field in most cases, but there's, you know, there's players that are close to him as well in that, you know, a classification, and certainly on that Spanish Fort defense. So he played out of position a little bit at the beginning of his senior season, outside linebacker. So he was talking about how, you know, at first it was, you know, out of position, but then, you know, he's getting that experience at both levels. So I think that's going to certainly pay off. So yeah, I really like that pick. I'm going to go someone on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to go Rico Scott, summer enrollee, you know, of all the receivers that have come in, you know, Ryan Williams, you know, Jeremy Bernard comes in, Amari Jefferson, Arian Hampton, a couple other guys. You know, I really like Rico Scott. Talking with him, he just kind of carries that, I don't know, Alabama mindset. It's just, you know, he always talks about Alabama isn't for everyone. You know, he with that coaching change, he didn't really waver. I think he's like a similar to, you know, maybe a Kendrick Law or even a Jeremy Bernard, maybe not as versatile, but, you know, very fast, quick twitch, you know, can kind of play in the slot and kind of seems like that prototypical, you know, maybe 3 or 4 receiver that can, you know, contribute in a very big way in Caleb DeBoer and Ryan Grubb's offense.
Yeah, no, I like that pick. Receivers, I know that there's a lot of people kind of worried about the receiver room right now, and I get it. There's, you know, good players in a new offense, right? You got Kendrick Law, Kobe Prentice, Jalen Hale, who's very good this year. Emmanuel Henderson's still there. You're adding in Amari Jefferson, Aaron Hampton, Rico Scott, Jeremy Bernard's coming in through. Like, there's a lot of talent here. You know, I wonder just how is Grubb, Shepard, DeBoer, how are they going to use the pieces, right? Isaiah Bond's gone now, so there's more, you know, target share opportunity, I suppose, because he, you know, led the team in targets this past season. Jermaine Burton's gone. Amari Nyblak's gone. Like, those are the three top pass catchers for Alabama last year. So how do these new guys fit in? Could some of the young guys get some run early? The guys that are returning, what does expanded role look like? I like that pick. Rico Scott's a guy, you know, I don't know if he's going to play early, but I definitely think that he's the type of athlete that could very well thrive in an offense like this, which is exciting, right? Because that's, you know, I feel like just with and maybe it was, you know, Nick Saban's comment during the initial signing day in December, you know, Bubba Hampton's kind of a dog, man. Like, everybody kind of, you know, not forgets, but it's like, hey, like, you got, you know, Amari Jefferson's also in this class, Rico Scott's also in this class, right? Let's, you know, let's not forget about those dudes, even though Nick Saban gave, you know, huge kudos to one of those guys. I like that Rico Scott pick.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Okay, by the end of their Alabama career in the 2024 class, who do you think will be the offensive MVP?
All right, I'm not going to go Ryan Williams because I'm going to try to challenge myself to go somewhere different.
Whoa!
I'm going to go somewhere outside of Ryan Williams here. I'm going to avoid the low-hanging
fruit. I think I have a guess of where you're going, but I want to hear you say it.
I'm going to go Caleb Odom.
Yes.
Another guy that I think is going to thrive in this offense. A guy that may not play early, a guy that could play early. I don't know. You know, the tight end room is obviously, you know, pretty full, but of those guys, he's kind of the only downfield threat.
You want me to read you the tight end room right now?
Yeah.
You got CJ Dupree. You got Robbie Oots. And then you've got Danny Lewis Jr. and then Ty Lockwood and then our guy Caleb Odom. Yeah. And then Jay Lindsey, who's basically Robbie Utes 2.0. So, like, plenty of opportunity for that dude to climb the ladder and get some playing time this
year. Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've talked about it countless times too. In high school, he lined up out wide. He was kind of a wide out for 4 years. And I wouldn't be shocked if maybe that's the case. He's a guy that's kind of a mismatch. You know, you look at the receiver room, there's not really a guy that's huge. I mean, you know, you got Jalen Hale, who's pretty big, but, you know,
they don't have 6'5", 215 in that receiver room.
Right. And, you know, I don't know what Rome Odunze or all those guys' measurements were, but I know they were fairly big dudes as well. But I think Caleb Odom is a guy that eventually is going to be a very, very, very good player for Alabama. And real quick, I just want to hit on as well, what Caleb DeBoer was able to do with him is to keep him was impressive as well, because, you know, Joe Cox, his tight end coach that he talked so highly about for multiple months, leaves and takes the job at Ole Miss. Ole Miss was kind of his runner-up. He was seriously considering Ole Miss all throughout the fall, took an official visit, took an unofficial visit. So, you know, just another good job by Caleb DeBoer. I don't know what they're saying to these kids, but this 2024 class, you know, I talked about in the summer, just seemed like, and talked about it at December sign day, you know, maybe not the highest ranked. I know they're number two and we're saying not the highest ranked, but just have that mindset and just grit. It just seems like, hey, I'm, you know, Alabama's Alabama. I'm staying here. You know, let's go type of thing. So I'm going Caleb Odom.
I like that. I'm going to not pick Ryan Williams too, because I feel like that's the low hanging fruit. And I'm going to go with Kevin Riley, running back out of Tuscaloosa County, right up the road here in Northport. I just think this is a really cool story. A kid that literally grew up in the shadow of Bryant-Denny Stadium. He was a signing day flip, right? Like, he was dead set on going to Miami, was going to be part of that fantastic recruiting class. And then Nick Saban pulled a rabbit out of his hat, was able to flip him on signing day back in December. You know, and then, you know, combination of probably DeBoer, Grubb, and running back coach Robert Gillespie sticks it out. He says, hey, like, I'm staying here. I'm going to go here. This is probably the place where I've wanted to go all along. You know, he's in a pretty crowded running back room. Justice Haynes, Jam Miller, Richard Young. There's also Daniel Hill in this 2024 class. But I think Kevin Riley's one of those dudes where, you know, I don't want to sit here and project and guess that, you know, this guy's a 4-year player, this guy's a 3-year player, this guy will play for 5, whatever the case may be. I think Kevin Riley's got an opportunity to, you know, maybe have a Roydell Williams-like career arc where he sticks out 4 or 5 years, but maybe a little bit more productive. No offense, Roydell, great player, great quote, awesome to talk to. I just think it would be really, really cool for a guy like Kevin Riley, a hometown kid, to become that bell cow back his junior and senior year and really, you know, kind of be a focal point in the offense. I think that would just be a really cool story. I think he's talented enough to do that. Obviously, 4-star kid, you know, top 100, you know, top 150 running back, number 9 overall running back in the country. In an offense like this, right, you know, now he gets to play for, you know, Ryan Grubb, Kalen DeBoer, which, you know, a lot of love went to Penix and Odunze and Polk and McMillan in the past game, but very quietly, Washington's running back, like, their run game was very, very good, right? Like, their running back, Dylan Johnson, led the SEC in total rushing yards last year. I think finished 2nd rushing yards per game. Like, this, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for these running backs. And so long as this staff stays in place, I think Kevin Riley could really benefit down the road. I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think you said it all. I think it speaks to, again, Caleb DeBoer's smart moves in a little less than a month, keeping Robert Gillespie. Big, I think, you know, already seeing kind of some big payoffs here, and, you know, talk with 2025 guys as well.
Who do you think will be the defensive MVP of the 2024 class when their careers are all said and done?
I'm going to go Zay Mincy. That's still available, right? That's still available, right?
He's still available.
All right, I'm going Zay Mincy. You talk to these 247 sports analysts and, you know, these scouting guys and kind of just oohing and on over this guy. You know, I was in the All-American Bowl for check-in where they do their measurements, and he's getting his, you know, height and weight, and he's getting his hand measurement, he's getting his arm measurement. And these guys who've been around forever are just kind of jaws to the floor, just like, this guy's got, you know, arms and hands of a, you know, edge rusher or offensive tackle. I mean, he's just kind of an athletic freak. And, you know, you hit on it a little bit earlier about, you know, is he going to play safety? Is he going to play corner? One, that's a great problem to have. Two, I think it speaks to his athleticism. I keep seeing comparisons and kind of see it to Terrion Arnold. I don't know if you've seen any tape on Zay Mincy. I know you're a big Terrion Arnold guy. I don't know if you can, kind of
it's funny. I just
confirm nor deny that.
I just pulled up his 247 profile and I scrolled down to his to the scouting report. Shout out to Andrew Ivins right there at the top. Comparison, Terrion Arnold.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. It's almost like me and Andrew Ivins have some conversations. but yeah, I'm going to go Mincy. I think, you know, his versatility. And again, you know, if you don't know where he's going to play, but he's a five-star, it's a great problem to have.
Yeah. No, I mean, anytime you can get a safety who can cover like a corner, like that is, you talk about queens on the chessboard. Like that is a guy who, you know, a lot of opportunity, I think, to play early. He's in that mix just as much as Jalen Mbakwe, I would guess.
And big, big physical, can hit, played in South 6'2", Florida.
6'2", 190?
Yeah, big boy. Yeah.
And that's before he, that's before college weight room gets a hold of him, too. Like, that's,
yeah, he may be he may be 205 by now. He's been there for a little bit.
That's, man, he's going to be a thumper sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Xavien Brown. I like my corners. I like my outside corners. I'm a big fan of Mbakwe, and I think he, you know, projected right to be the best of the bunch. Look at the, you know, what the scouts are saying, what you've been saying, what the rankings say. I really like Xavien Brown. Maybe not the most fluid type of athlete, but very technically sound, not afraid to use his hands. He finds a way to just stay in receivers' pockets the entire way through. We'll see if that ultimately translates. I think it will. I think athleticism is something that you can maybe teach a little bit at the collegiate level, but technique is a lot harder to kind of instill in some of these guys, and he's got those traits. So again, a lot of high level DBs, 3-5 stars, a lot of opportunity to potentially play. I'd throw Brown in that mix as well, right? If Damani Jackson's not getting the job done, hey bro, there's a 5-star right behind you that's hot on your tail. You better keep it up, right? So I really like Xavien Brown. I think he's a dude that could, you know, I don't know if he's one of those 3 years and done, but definitely he's got pro potential. You look at his scouting report. It's Greg Biggins, who, you know, he takes care of the West Coast for us, really likes this guy. I've only had one conversation with Biggins and Brown came up immediately. And I'm not sure that we were even talking recruiting. So like, that's how high I know other people are on this guy. I've watched a lot of his film. I'm very excited to see him in Tuscaloosa. And I think he could end up being very, very good. Obviously, I think he's going to be the defensive MVP. I got one more. I got a curveball for you just to make sure that we can mention this guy. Who do we think out of the 2024 class is going to be the first to score a touchdown?
So that means you have someone in mind. If you're
Ryan asking. Williams.
No. why? I'm just kidding. I'm going Bubba Hampton.
I like that. I like that. Bubba, you know, Hampton. Like he's, I'm okay with that.
Ryan, you're my guy. You're my guy. I know I haven't picked you a couple of times, but you know, I'm your guy. Come on.
I figured Ryan Williams is just going to, you know, unless maybe Mbakwe is the punt returner in week one, or maybe he has a pick six, or Brown, or, you know, Mincy has a pick six or something like that. Or I don't know. Like, I just, you know, who's going to score first? There's a lot of options there on the table, and, you know, we're a ways out from seeing these guys, you know, officially in the program. But that was fun. That was 2024. We're, you know, signed, sealed, delivered. Those guys are part of the program now. I'm going to cede the floor to you now, Brett, because I know that 2025 guys officially on the clock this week, literally today, right after, you know, signing day was yesterday, Wednesday. We're recording this on Thursday morning. 2025 guys are on the clock. I know that before this dead period started, Alabama hosted a monster junior day where they had a lot of 4- and 5-star 2025 guys on campus. I know that when Nick Saban retired, right? Like that was an important day because after Nick Saban retired, Alabama's 2025 class, basically like all those guys more or less decommitted, right? Like that they're basically starting from scratch 2025. You alluded to this earlier in the show that the 2025 class is really going to be DeBoer's first as Alabama's head coach. And the early returns based on everything you've been writing over the last week or so, the junior day was a hit. Like they made a really strong impression on a lot of high level recruits. What can you tell us about junior day? What can you tell us about some of the 2025 targets? Just what are maybe some of the way too early names to watch, things to know when it comes to Alabama and how they're, you know, approaching 2025?
Yeah, I think, you know, for starters with that junior day, I think we confirmed 45 plus names. I think there was even more, you
That's
know,
a hell of a cookout,
you know, not a whole lot of elite top end talents. But, you know, I do want to say, like, a lot of these elite top end talents have had visits scheduled for, you know, this was the final weekend. So a lot of these guys were getting in to see, you know, maybe some schools they have a little bit of better relationship right now. And that's, you know, no knock to the coaching staff. The coach staff hasn't even been here for a month, like I was saying earlier. But to get 45 guys and even more on campus is impressive in itself. And, you know, you talk to multiple people, you know, had reactions on Bama 247 last couple of days and last, you know, week or so. The early returns are extremely, extremely positive. I know a couple got a couple questions on the board and a couple, you know, emails about, you know, why isn't there a commitment and things like that. And I put on the board, you know, before the weekend, I said, you know, of the, let's say 45 guys were there, you know, 35 of them were meeting the staff for the first time. And, you know, 25 of them were on campus for the first time. I didn't expect anybody to commit. I think if we did see a commitment, I would have been very shocked, and it would have been another testament to Caleb DeBoer. But I didn't expect to see any commitments, and I wasn't surprised that Alabama didn't have any commitments. I think this was about, you know, just meeting these kids. You know, you talk to these recruits, and what was the conversation like? And most of them are like, it wasn't even football, man. It was, you know, not where you from, but like, you know, what's your background? What here's a little bit about me. Caleb DeBoer talking about, you know, how, you know, here's my plan to keep the program like this. And just the early returns are, you know, they're genuine guys. There's, you know, multiple coaches around me at all times. The energy's in the building is high. You know, and one thing I thought was very interesting as well, and I think a big topic, you know, in probably a lot of Alabama fan circle is, you know, how would Caleb DeBoer kind of handle the transition with Nick Saban in the recruiting space? And a lot of them, you know, tell me, would go like, Caleb DeBoer, you know, acknowledges Nick Saban and acknowledges his presence and the history and the tradition, but also, you know, at the same time made it clear, like, I'm Caleb DeBoer. I'm going to try to take after some of the things Nick Saban did, because obviously he's successful, but, you know, I'm Caleb DeBoer. And, you know, you talk with Ryan Williams too, he was like, if he was like very clearly trying to act like Nick Saban and act like someone he wasn't, it would just been a turnoff. And these kids can see that. You know, when he's genuine and acting like himself, these kids can see that. So, you know, the early returns have been extremely positive. I think, you know, it was very important to get a couple of these guys on campus before the dead period. You know, I had a good piece on, you know, Bama 247, I think a couple days ago, just a couple names that I think Alabama's done a good job with in a very limited time. A couple of those guys have maybe committed elsewhere or, you know, recently decommitted from, you know, schools or things like that. But again, I think Alabama has done a good job. It's going to be, you know, interesting to see how quickly they get these guys back on campus. A lot of these people have expressed interest to get back in the spring. I think that's where you're going to see, you know, even more offers, maybe even some commitments and some, you know, more and more return visitors as guys get on campus and, you know, work out. And, you know, these next month at the dead period, this coaching staff, you know, maybe gets to take a little bit of a sigh. You know, maybe Caleb DeBoer gets to go to Seattle for the first time in 3 weeks. But there's going to be a lot of film watching. There's going to be a lot of new offers be handed out. You know, coaches can still talk to high school coaches and things like that. So over the next month, I think the big board, so to speak, is going to really kind of show itself. I know I was talking with Rodak about it. I had like a whole, you know, series of, you know, each position big board type of thing that I was going to kind of kick off soon after, you know, the college football playoff. And that obviously got a little mixed up in the Nick Saban retirement. So I'm going to start that, you know, probably in March. You know, just once we get a kind of a more general sense of, you know, who's seriously considering Alabama and, you know, who's Alabama's, you know, who's really a committable offer type of thing. But, you know, one thing I've talked about too is, you know, talk with experts, this staff is not, you know, offering 10 running backs at a time. Like if you're getting an offer, it is committable. We want you type of thing. And one thing Courtney Morgan talked about in the Athletic interview, which is just great, we put it on the board. He was like, if you're an in-state kid and we're offering you, like, we want you, we are not, you know, like, we're not going to put ourselves in position to not take you. And he talked about, I think he said, not exact quote, but it could have like extended ramifications if you, you know, kind of screw up a recruitment in state, you know, with high school. So overall, I think they've done a good job and, you know, continuing to get reactions and things like that. And I know I'm rambling right now, but you mentioned, you know, the 2025 decommitments I talked about on the board immediately. Not surprising. You don't blame the kids. Take a step back. Again, a lot of these guys, that were there, like, for instance, Jamie French, his lead recruiter is Travaris Robinson and Holman Wiggins. He's gone. The head coach is Nick Saban. He's gone. He doesn't know anybody in the building. You don't blame the kid. The kid's 15, 16 years old and a highly sought after recruit. Take a step back. And, you know, and this coaching staff has continued to be in contact with all these guys. You know, not to say they're in good position or anything like that. Still getting a bunch of thoughts, and it'll be very telling if they get some visits, you know, back to Alabama soon. But, you know, it wasn't surprising to see these guys decommit. And two guys that did stay on is Miles Johnson, linebacker. He was supposed to be for junior day. I don't think he ended up making it, but I believe he's still committed to Alabama. Anthony Rogers was there, number one running back. Love Coach Kalen DeBoer, loves Coach G. Coach Gillespie, again, another great move by DeBoer to keep him on staff. But yeah, I think Anthony Rogers really loves the staff, and to keep him a hold is going to be good and kind of the anchor of the class. And was talking with Ryan Williams. I'm like, you know, you were very vocal recruiter. Mbakwe is a vocal recruiter for you. Like, does it kind of flip the switch? Are you recruiting now? He goes, yeah, I had the number one class in 2025. We're getting it back. So I thought that was pretty funny. I think Ryan kind of just, you know, just carries that kind of, I don't know, presence around him. It's just always funny kid making jokes. But yeah, early returns have been good, and I could go on and talk about each and every kid, but, you know, go to Bama 247. I have great conversations with a lot of kids, and, you know, going to have continued things coming out with some conversations with Micah DeBose, Antonio Coleman, which from the road earlier this week. So looking forward to it. And then as well, I just want to hit on one thing as well with the 2024 class. Final note, I'll have something out hopefully today, just kind of introducing just the full class, kind of a, you know, profile of each signee. So looking forward to that, kind of putting a final bow on that and pushing it to the side and moving to 2025.
Yeah. Like you mentioned at the top of the show, 2025, literally a whole year for this coaching staff to figure out what the class looks like, for these kids to make, you know, obviously massive decisions. To give you an idea of how far away that is, if you look at 247's current team rankings for 2025 recruiting class, a time-honored tradition that Notre Dame is currently number one here in the month of February. We'll see if that holds. I think teams like LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, who are currently 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe a little bit more staying power, but still plenty of time for Alabama to catch up. And we'll, you know, circle back after probably a swing of commitments come through in the spring and summer to double check on the 2025 class. A lot of time left for the staff to get this one together.
I keep saying final note, but final note. I think Alabama fans have got pretty accustomed to, you know, Nick Saban and his recruitment. I think it's going to be new for all of us. I just want to say that, like, you know, you look at, you know, where Alabama's ranked, and, you know, you looked at where Alabama's ranked in, you know, March of last year, and he ends up at number two. And, you know, you kind of had that Nick Saban factor of, you know, Nick Saban doesn't really have to turn on until he has to go on the road. And we saw that in 2024. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know if Kalen DeBoer has that much power. We'll see. Has shown signs of it, obviously, with Ryan Williams, and it'll be very interesting to see. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic just to see if they go, you know, load up on the class in June like, you know, Kirby Smart in Georgia did last year, or they take a slow approach and take slower evaluations and, you know, take more serious time to, you know, offer these kids and, you know, take that, you know, we're the University of Alabama. If we want, we're going to have you type of thing.
It'll be interesting to see it all unfold. We're going to obviously have Brett on top of that, but, you know, dead periods here. Hopefully he will get a chance to catch his breath and take a little bit of a break as well. Brett, thank you again so much for coming on and recapping 2024 and taking a way too early look at 2025. We'll be back sometime next week, probably discuss, you know, maybe some hoops, maybe a way too early look at spring ball. We're still trying to figure out what these podcasts look like week to week. But in the meantime, though, be sure to rate and review the show wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, even our Bama 247 YouTube page. Subscribe to Bama 247 and 247 Sports. Believe we're still running a special, because we're always running a special. 60% off an annual VIP membership. Believe it comes out to about $43 for the entire year. You can get all of Brett's expert recruiting knowledge for just $43 for the entire year on our Bama 247 website and on the board. Thank you, Brett, again, for joining us. Thank you guys always for listening. Talk again soon.
See you guys.